I guess we have snow days, but today wasn't one of them. So I figured if I could get out, you know, being a foreigner, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'd like to look this morning at one verse of Scripture, verse 18. We're just going right through the book of John, word by word. Let's look at John 3:18, and then after we read this one verse, we'll ask the Lord's blessing. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, it is so good to be able to call upon You and to know that we speak unto You and enter into the Holy of Holies, Heavenly Holy of Holies, that place that was pictured only in the earthly tabernacle. No one could enter except the high priest one time a year. And Lord, now we can enter in boldly to the very presence of Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, our hearts are made to wonder at the majesty of who You are, grace and mercy that You've shown us. Lord, would You speak today? Bless our hearts with the hearing of the blessed Word of God. Cause us to hear the voice of the Shepherd. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. I've entitled this message, Why is a Man Condemned of God? Now, you know, our Lord had been speaking to Nicodemus, and He told Nicodemus in verse 12, He said, I've told you some earthly things. And He said, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, these heavenly things, these are truths that are only known by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Things that you just can't know. Verse 13 was the first one that He told him. He said this, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, what He said is this. He said, I am the only one who has the right and the dignity to ascend into heaven on his own merit. Now, man by nature thinks. Now, you think about this. Man by nature thinks that he can ascend into heaven by his own free will. I can do whatever I choose to do, and I can, the Lord said, no man hath ascended up to heaven. That is, on his own merit. I gave you some examples of those that have been translated, those that have been caught up, those that have not ascended. No man has ascended on his own merit except the one that came down. Here was the second heavenly thing that was told. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It was another heavenly thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, as was pictured when Moses made that brazen serpent, he made it in the form of a fiery serpent, a snake that was biting the people. And he made that took a piece of brass and he made a snake and he put it on a pole. And here was the heavenly revelation. Whoever looked at that snake, lived. What did that set forth? Whoever, by faith, looks upon Christ, and Christ alone, is going to live and believes Him. That's what He said in that next verse. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now listen, when we start talking about looking upon Him, you have to understand that if there is any leaven, you say, well, I'm looking at Christ, but I feel that I need to. I'm looking at Him, but also you need to. No. Whosoever believeth in Him. Now, if you want to know the difference between what the Scripture sets forth as salvation by grace and salvation by works, it's this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just, you know, you say, well, you know what? We believe 99% of what y'all preach there, we believe that. You know, the only difference is we believe that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Salvation is all of grace, or it is no salvation at all. Salvation is of the Lord, and anything that you add, any little addition, well, we believe that you should, anything that you add, you leaven the whole lump. Here's the next heavenly thing, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Scriptures never sets forth that God loves every man without distinction. It never sets that forth. Go back and we listen to that message again that I tried to set forth. What He's talking about when He says the world, He's talking about the order, the arrangement of mankind. God loved the arrangement, the order of mankind, and was not pleased that mankind, the order, Almighty God loved the people. So out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, He chose some. Go back and read it in Ephesians chapter 1. God has a people. You say, well, I thought that God loved everybody. God Almighty never says that He loves everybody. You say, well, I don't think that's fair. That doesn't matter. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Now see, the Lord was telling Nicodemus, I told you earthly things and you don't believe. How are you going to believe heavenly things? Can the thing made say to Him that made it, why have you made me thus? Who do we think we are? Who are we? We are dust. If Almighty God has been pleased to show mercy to anybody, as I said before, whenever you start thinking about the election of God, predestination of God, choosing of God, understand something. If Almighty God left men to do what man wanted to do, He'd condemn all of them. So whenever we start talking about fair, remember this, in Adam, left in Adam, considered in Adam, all died. But that Almighty God would show mercy and grace, that's a heavenly thing. How can it be? Here's another heavenly thing. God sent not, verse 17, His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, for God to condemn this world, He didn't have to send Christ. Just leave it alone. Let a man do what he wants to do. Leave a man to himself, and he's going to perish. He's going to perish. God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, because of Him, might be saved. God would show mercy. Now today we're going to consider the next heavenly thing, and it is that verse that we read, verse 18. Here's the next heavenly thing, and it's this thought. There is the blessing of God upon everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's judgment is upon all who leave this world without Him. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that that verse of Scripture sets forth, and I thought on this a few minutes ago when I was sitting there contemplating this verse of Scripture. There's no Scripture that sets forth more clearly the indescribable sovereignty of God than this one. Now, you talk about a passage of Scripture that sets forth God's sovereignty, God's right, God's will, God's purpose. And that's what it's all about. Who, Brother Scott, you say, who's going to get the glory for this? Who's running this show anyway? God is. Now, it's a miracle of God's grace that we're even here this morning. But this passage of Scripture sets forth the sovereignty, the omniscience of Almighty God. If we understood, and I pray that we'll look at this for just a minute, and understand what is being said here, I'm telling you, it'll shut a man's mouth. It'll shut him up. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Now, this proves, first of all, I don't think anyone here would doubt this. This proves the immense importance of faith. Faith in Christ, believing. Nobody would doubt that. You know that that's what it's saying. But let me set something forth to you so that we can understand what is actually being said here. Now, let me tell you what any man, any woman, let me tell you what the natural thinking thinks is being said right there. This is what the natural, your natural mind, this is what it is. Okay. He that believes, God then goes from condemning him, because see, we're all born in trespasses and sins. And therefore, when we come forth, there's a time, Jeff, when man, he doesn't believe. There's a time, I mean, you know, I had somebody tell me the other night, they said, I love God. I've always loved Him. I've loved Him since I've always loved Him. And I thought, that's a little bit too long. That's a little bit too long. Because nobody is born into this world loving God. Nobody. What people think that Scripture is saying is this. He that is has come into this world and is in a state of unbelief for a while. He's under the condemnation of God, but then when he believes, he goes from being condemned to a point to where he's not condemned anymore. Because he believed, God then erased him from being under his condemnation and then put him under grace. But he that believeth not is condemned already. And so they somehow you're trying to justify that thing in your mind that you went from a state of this to a state of this. Now let me tell you the problem with that. I know, and you know, that God doesn't change. Now you know that. Has God Almighty ever changed? You know He hasn't. Malachi sets forth. He said, I change not. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So the first thing that we know is that God has never changed. Let me show you something else. Turn to Acts 15. Now the problem is that we think in a certain way, but the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So the only thing that we've got is the Word of God. That's all we've got to go on. So if we do not take God's Word as being so, then what is the basis? I mean, where do we establish the lines? Acts 15, look at verse 13. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this degree, the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins and set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now listen to this verse of Scripture, verse 18. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Known unto God are all of His works from the beginning of the world. Now my question is this. Does Almighty God do that which is right? Yes. You know that. He said, I'm a just God. Does Almighty God know that which He's going to do? Yes. That Scripture right there set forth, known unto the Lord are all of His works. God Almighty has never learned anything. Known unto the Lord are all of His works. You and I will pick up something. We'll have something kind of cut. I didn't realize that. Well, that kind of sets things in a different light. I didn't, you know, not God. God never changes. He that believeth, this is what's being said, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Now, before we go any farther, we've got to realize how far back does it go that God's people were not condemned. There is therefore now, Romans 8:1 says, no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. And my question to you and to me is this. How long as God's people been in Christ? Well, Ephesians 1 sets forth, and we could read all these scriptures, but for the sake of time, it's Ephesians 1. Just read about the first 10, 11 verses. The scripture sets forth that Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people in Christ and considered them in Him and looked upon them only in a surety and considered them in Christ, and all that He looked to them for was in His Son. And He looked at His Son and trusted in His Son. And the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the world, Almighty God, known unto God are all of His works. Always. Now, Almighty God has never been surprised at anything. Now, when I told you a while ago that we're talking about this verse of Scripture sets forth the indescribable sovereignty of God, does God have a right to do what He will with His own? Now, you know He does. Now, we're either going to argue against God or we're going to bow, one of the two. But let me tell you who's going to win. You know who's going to win. He said, "My counsel shall stand." Now, here's what's happening. Almighty God has a people that He chose before the foundation of the world, and He chose them in Christ and considered them in Christ. And all that the Father gave Him are going to come to Him. And they're going to call. And they're going to believe. And He knows them. And none of them are going to perish. None of them. Here's what's being said right here. He that believeth, it evidences that he was never under the condemnation of God. He that believeth is not condemned. His faith did not put him in a state of non-condemnation. He was never under the condemnation of God. And faith evidenced it. You see that? He that believeth is not condemned. God never condemned him. Why? He had already considered him, looked upon him in His Son, who was made a curse. Somebody said, "Well, what you're saying is that salvation was finished from before the foundation of the world." I said, "Yeah, that's right. That's what's been preached here for 55 years. Salvation is of the Lord." That's what. God's not surprised. He's never surprised. Faith is not the source of our justification before God. It's the evidence of it. We've been justified freely by His grace. In time, you and I found out about this. But God knew this always. He said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Why? Because you're in His Son. He chose you in Christ. Does it matter what a man hears? Sure it does. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, it's the power of God and salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." How are we going to know this? You say, I didn't know that I was always looked upon Him in Christ. How would we know that heavenly thing unless God tell us? We could never make that up. How could I ever come up with something like that? Somebody said, "Well, you're making this so God-centered." I said, "Well, thank you. Thank you. Maybe you understood what I said then. You know, I've had different ones tell me. They said, well, I'll tell you one thing, Marvin. No doubt about this. Everybody understands what you're saying. I said, good. I just need to make sure I'm consistent. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth, you say, well, but there was a time when I didn't believe. I know that. God's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Who are the uswards? Those that He's everlastingly loved. He's long suffering. You mean to tell me when I was running around here thinking I was somebody, just, you know, yeah. Long suffering to me, long suffering to every one of His elect. Why did He put up with Paul? Because He had everlastingly loved him in Christ. Christ had answered for him, redeemed him. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. He that believeth on Him, we must hear the gospel. We're not fatalists. Now, there's some that will say there's no need. If God has everlastingly chosen you, then there's no need for you to believe. That's not true. Almighty God has been pleased through the foolishness of preaching. Somebody said, well, why did He do that? Don't ask questions like that. You know, I'm talking to me and you. Why? Why would we question God? Almighty God said that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. So what are we doing here? I'm standing here proclaiming the unsearchable riches of the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, if God's got a people, He's going to save them. That's right. Well, if He's not purposed to save them, then He'll leave them to do what they want to do. That's right. Well, what difference does it make then if we preach or we don't preach? God told us to preach. That's the reason we do. We don't presume on God. We don't question Him. God Almighty has been pleased through the foolishness of preaching. And those that believe, let me tell you why they believed. Because Almighty God gave them a new heart. He opened, just like He did Lydia's. Lydia was listening to Paul preach and she was worshiping God in the best way she knew how. And the Scripture says, and the Lord opened her heart and she attended then to the things that were spoken of Paul. Why did she believe? God gave her faith to believe. If she believes, who gets the credit for it? God's going to get the credit for it. If she doesn't believe, who's going to suffer the consequences? She is, and whose fault was it? It was her fault. Faith reveals that there is not now or never has been any condemnation to those that be in Christ Jesus. God never changes. He's never changed His mind. He's never changed His attitude. There is no shadow of turning with God. Just think, the insinuation that there would be a change of mind from this to this would say that God Almighty was not perfect. He cannot change. Faith in Christ reveals why there's no condemnation to the believer. Because Christ was condemned in His stead. Now listen to this, Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely He hath borne our griefs. Now I'll qualify this. I know that if I have to qualify every statement that I make, every service that I make, but I'm going to qualify this one. You remember when the Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep? You remember that? I lay down my life for the sheep. He told some Pharisees, He said, the reason you don't believe is because you're not my sheep. The reason you don't believe is because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. So God has a people. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep, do you know who he laid down his life for? The sheep. Are the sheep I have, not of this fold, them I must bring. Now, here's the way it is. He said he laid down for those that the Father gave him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So when the Spirit of God, through the prophet Isaiah, speaks and says, our and we, the Lord Jesus Christ set forth who he died for. You might say, well, I thought he died for everybody. Well, the Lord didn't say that. Men say that. The Lord didn't say it. And if he died for everybody, then he shed blood that was not effectual. Then therefore he was a failure. He shed blood and it did not accomplish what he purposed for it to do. That's what would be said. And I'm telling you, he said, I lay down my life as sheep. Now listen to these words. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded, that is, tormented for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Made the iniquity of all God's sheep, all God's elect. Here we realize that Almighty God was doing something in absolute justice because he's a merciful God. God Almighty is going to do that which he's pleased to do. So he that believeth on him. You say, well, I didn't always believe. But before you died, God's people are. They're going to come to Christ. How many are going to come? How many are going to believe? All that the Father giveth me. All of them. All of them. All of them. How many are going to be saved? All of them. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He that believeth on him, he who by faith lays hold of Christ, casts himself upon the mercy of God in Christ, looks away from himself and forsakes all other acts of self-righteous confidence in the flesh, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He's never been condemned. He's never been condemned. He's always been looked upon in the beloved. Always. In time, we found out about it. God put us under the sound of the gospel, and we heard, and we believed him, and said, oh, the mercy of Almighty God, that God would not leave me to myself. Justified by the grace of God. Warfare is accomplished. Iniquity is pardoned. But he that believeth not, is condemned already. You say, well, wouldn't it be the right thing for God to just at least, man, give him a chance, at least to the end of his life? I mean, he that believeth not is condemned already. You see what I'm saying? He's already under the condemnation of God. Is God Almighty just? This is an amazing thing here. I was looking at this word here. He that believeth not. I looked that word up, and it said it was a qualified denial. That's what we're talking about, Kevin. Qualified denial. A qualified denial. I thought, qualified denial, what does that mean? It proves what God eternally knew. He that believeth not is condemned already. He's under God's judgment, for God Almighty, who before the foundation of the world knew all of his works. God Almighty declared that which was he was pleased to do. And one that leaves this world not believing Christ. And let me be perfectly clear. Whose fault is it if a man leaves this world not believing Christ? It's his own fault. It's his own fault. You're not going to lay the blame of unbelief at the feet of God Almighty. If a man or a woman walks out of this building and they refuse to bow, they say, you know what? That's just a little bit too narrow. That's just a little bit too... that's a hard saying. Not going to follow him anymore. The Lord asked his disciples, will you go away also? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let me ask you this. Whose fault was it when Adam rebelled against God? It was Adam's fault. Whose fault is it every time a man or a woman disobeys, refuses to come? Whose fault is it? It's theirs. Is God just in condemning a man? Yes. You know that. You know that. Well, what if he chooses to show mercy to some? He's got a right to do that. Somebody would say, well, why did he not show mercy to everybody? The Scripture sets forth that he did what he did according to his own will. And I'm telling you, to argue against him or to think against him or to contradict or try to... I'm telling you, we've got one hope. Cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Somebody say, well, how can I do that? Do you want to? Do you want to? If you want to, it's because he's made you willing in the day of his power. But if he leaves a man to himself, and that man leaves this world screaming and cussing God and everything else, I'm telling you, he is doing what he wants to do, and he will justly be condemned. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to this last verse of Scripture, and I'll hush. I asked this question a while ago and answered it too with this Scripture. But I want to bring out one word in this verse of Scripture. Here's the question. How long have men been in Christ? How long has there been no condemnation? Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Here again, I think that it's right. I think it's imperative for a preacher. Any man's going to stand up and set forth the Word of God. You ought to look. You ought to study. Give yourself to study. I thank the Lord for this body of believers that support me. That I might have the privilege to be able to come sit in this study every day. And study. I thank God for you. There's a lot of places where maybe the pastor's not able to do that. I don't know, whatever. But here I can. Thank you. But to be able to sit down and study, that word, when it says that we should be, it says that that is a present infinitive or infinitely present. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty has always looked upon us in mercy. Moses asked the Lord, there, Lord, would you show me your glory? Show me your glory. I've told you this before. The root word of that word glory there is to think. Your opinion. Lord, what is your opinion? And this is what God told him his glory was. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. The New Testament apostle said, so then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Now listen, we have one hope. We've got one hope. Almighty God has been pleased to show mercy. God Almighty has set forth that men are responsible for their rebellion. But man left to himself will do one thing. He will always rebel against God. But God Almighty is a merciful God. And if He has given you a heart to bow to Him, you see, here's what this comes down to. There's no other hope. There's no other hope except the Lord Jesus Christ. We can argue against it. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. May God Almighty deliver me from attempting, thinking that I can hold on to something that I did or I could do or that I'm worthy of. Salvation is all of grace, not of works. If there's any works in it, then it's not grace. It's all of grace. May God bless these words to our heart and give us a heart that looks to Him and say, Lord, You're God. Now this is God. This is power. This is knowledge. This is revelation. Old Nebuchadnezzar, remember when God put him out in the field there? He stood over there and he looked around at Babylon. He looked this great Babylon. Look what I've done. Look at everything I've done. And he took his mind away from him. Seven years. Gave his mind back to him. Nebuchadnezzar said, you know what? He does as he will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody stays his hand. Nobody has a right to question him. I'm telling you, bow before Him who is your only hope for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take a few minutes.